My name's Diane Pennington.
Diane, just tell me about your experience of adopting Emmy. What led you to the decision? And if you don't mind telling me kind of how old you were and what the circumstances were like and how it all went.
Okay. I don't have a short version, so I'll just
tell
you.
That's fine.
I have always, ever since I was little, of course, you know, I was a product of television when all of the, there was always some sort of a needy children thing going on when I was growing up, and I was really touched by children without parents in other countries. And so as long as I can remember, I had wanted to adopt. In addition to what I assumed would be natural born kids. And I lived in New York City. I was a musical theater performer for about 25 years. And so I made my living in New York. I was always moving around. And, you know, building a natural family like that is difficult at best. But so when I got into my 40s, I went back to school to finish my undergrad that I never had finished. But I switched to a degree in psychology for special populations. And so while I was doing all of that, I really started contemplating where I wanted my life to go. And I said, I really want to be a mother, and I really want to adopt. And so I started researching all of the different options and looking at different countries. And I heard all kinds of horror stories about adopting from Russia and from South America, you know. And when I was growing up, my parents were very influenced by all things Asian. My house had a lot of Asian decor in it, and my dad traveled quite a bit for his work. So I grew up with a lot of Asian influence and respect for the culture. So I thought, you know, I need to adopt from a culture that I know I can embrace, aside from some of the political things. But, and so, all of that. So I was about 45 when Emmy came home, and it took me almost 2 years to go through all the paperwork. And I had started the process, and in fact, I was doing it incrementally and wondering where the next piece was going to be coming from. So while I was in the adoption, actually I was in the waiting process at this point, my dad came to live with me. He was elderly, and he wasn't doing well, and so he came to live with me, and my sister also came, and so we took care of my dad. And I remember having a conversation with him one night, and I said, you know, Dad, I just don't know how I'm going to complete this adoption process. And he said to me, he said, you know, I've left you money in my will. And I said, hold it right there, Dad. Hold it. I said, I don't want to hear that. I want you around. I want you to know this baby. I want you to raise her and teach her all of your rotten habits, you know, how to be a Pennington and all of that. And so the next year my dad passed away. And I don't know if he knew, but I can't talk about it without crying, so I'm just going to cry. Sorry, Emmy. it was one of those synchronistic things where the amount that he had left me was the amount that was needed. Almost, not exactly, but I mean, you know, it was one of those wow moments. And so I was able to complete the adoption. So within the next year, she came home. Emmy's dad, this is one of those, you can't make these kinds of stories up. Emmy's dad and I had met while I was mid-adoption process. And he said, you're adopting, hon? I go, yeah, it's going to happen, so you can come along for the ride or not. And so so he did, you know, kind of kicking and screaming at first, but he went with me to China. So I continued as a single adoption. And when we went to China, he was there. He went through everything. He was there and held her the first night and, you know, and all of that. So he just fell in love with her. And after she came home, we were together for about a year and a half, and we decided that we weren't going to stay together, but her dad has been very, very committed and very in her life ever since then. So her dad lives in Carmel, New York, and she goes and spends summers with him. So we have a very interesting family constellation. Anyway, so we came back. We were living in Carmel, New York, and the whole thing of being in China and having a child handed to you and all of that waiting up until that moment in time, you know, is just, you can't get ready for it. And then all of a sudden you have a child, they hand it to you. It's like, oh, here's your daughter. And so, you know, it felt very natural.
How old was Emmy?
Emmy turned a year old the day after we got home.
And what was your family day, your gotcha day?
It was June 11th. 2002.
So those initial first years are one kind of experience.
Oh, yeah.
Can you, for those of us who have younger children, can you give us some forecast? Can you help us out here? What are we looking forward to?
You know, I don't want to be negative, but it's like, so the things that I remember the most are the hard things. You know, it's like the good stuff. I look back on the video and I go, oh, I remember that. Oh, that was so cute. Like, you know, seeing her dancing. You know, she'd have the music on. She'd be dancing to Mickey Mouse Club or something, you know. And a lot of the cute moments that we managed to capture on video, and there was kind of a gap when I didn't have a video camera anymore, but what I remember is, oh my gosh, my back hurts so badly when I'm carrying her and bouncing her in the middle of the night trying to get her back to sleep, and I thought, I am too old for this. Yeah. And there have been many times when I have thought, what was I thinking that I could do that at this age, you know? But the truth is, I don't think of myself as old. You know, I joke about it, but I really don't think of myself as old. And I'm a little older than her friends' parents, but not old enough where they... People have called me, is this your grandma, right?
No, because, like... You were in the car, and so my friends didn't actually see you because the windows were kind of tinted.
Uh-huh.
And so my friend asked me if that was my grandma.
And what was your...
No, that's my mom. They're like, oh, your mom's pretty. I was like...
Nice save.
Does your mom being a little bit older, has that been something that... you're aware of and makes you feel a little self-conscious, or is it...
Not really, because my friend Jolie, the other Asian that was adopted, her parents are in their 60s, so I'm not really self-conscious, and they're really sweet, so...
What would your version of this story be? What's your story? Do you have any memory at all of China?
None.
Have you been back?
Nope.
No. Do you have any interest in going back?
Maybe.
Okay.
Like when I get older, much older, then, because I want to go visit like France and everything before I visit China.
I see.
So.
So you're interested in seeing the world, but China isn't necessarily number one on your list just because you were born there.
I don't know, like. Because I've been wanting to go see the Eiffel Tower since I was little, and I didn't think much about China when I was little. So, I don't know.
How much do you think about being adopted? And do you think, you're obviously very close to your family, do you think at all about your biological parents? Is that something that
That's one reason why I might want to go back to China to see where I got my genes from, but other than that, I don't think about them. Mm-hmm. And then when I tell people I'm adopted, they're always like, aw, I'm like, okay, whatever that's supposed to mean, but I guess I'll take it. So every person that I tell that I was adopted, they go, aw, I'm like, okay, I'm used to it, so yeah.
What do you think they mean by that? That, aw, what do you think they're trying to express?
Like, aw, she's adopted? I don't know. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like, is it correct to say that people's questions and reactions are actually what's annoying, not the fact of being adopted?
Kind of.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Especially when they see us together.
Well, I was going to ask about that. What's that like when people see you together, and how has that changed? What's it like for you, Emmy?
Usually every Friday we go to this Asian market, and we go get our pad thai on. And so when we walk into the market, everyone just stares at us, and then they don't give us chopsticks because she's white or whatever. So I guess they don't think she knows how to use them, which is dumb, but...
Since I taught her.
Right.
So, yeah.
What about from people who are not Asian? Do you get much reaction from people who are not Asian?
Not really. They become my best friends, usually. So
the reaction to your having a mom who's not Chinese is you're usually feeling it from people at this Asian market, the Asian market.
The only place. Other than that, I bring my friends here, like, all the time, and we just hang out, like, Yeah.
And what's it like for you when you're out with her and you get... I mean, what's it like to not be given the chopsticks? I'm curious about how that's changed as she's gotten older.
Well, actually, when she was a baby, I think people got it more, you know, because that was when there was more frequency of adoption and, you know, it was more in the news. So people go, that you could see them connecting the dots. Doesn't look like her. She's holding the baby. She's treating her like a real child and fussing at her. So that must be her mom. So she must have been adopted. Okay, so I kind of enjoy watching people, you know, go through that whole process. Sometimes it's fun. But then there, you know, I got all of the stupid questions. Is this really your child? Well, yeah, I just changed her diaper, you know. But more importantly, you know, the other questions are like, is your husband Chinese? And I realized that could be, you know. But I just think over the years, people have gotten more used to it. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed on the other side of things, Emmy, especially at school, with your friends and stuff, when we'd be going to some sort of a something together and we'd walk up and I could see her friends going, you know, trying to put it together.
And they're not my friends because all of my friends know that I'm adopted.
Well, then that's changed too because we've been here long enough that everyone has known her for a while, so it's become a non-issue. But I get, is that your daughter? A lot still.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I just try to be gracious with it now. And my interior monologue is, really? Yeah. Really? You went there? You know? Talking about, though, the birth parents, I'm in a very different place than she is. And I have always been deeply aware of the fact that someone couldn't keep her. Someone gave birth to her. And so she was then entrusted to me and her dad, you know. And so I feel very strongly about that. And I put myself in her shoes often.
In the birth mother's shoes,
and wonder what she's thinking now. I wonder if Emmy has any other birth siblings. And so we've talked about it over the years, and I haven't pushed, right?
Mm-mm.
But I've said, you know, if there's ever any point in time when you would be interested in learning about your birth family, if there's any information we can get, it's the disappointment of that I want to be really upfront with her, because it may or may not happen. But I have, and I've been saying since she was a baby, I hope at some point in time that the DNA, there's a voluntary DNA registry that is such that at some point in time she could, you know, put her DNA in, and if they ever found a match, then we could pursue that if she wanted to at that time. And I think it's important if she was ever able to either discover siblings or look in the face of her birth mother and go, that's where that came from, you know. I want that for her. I don't feel threatened by it. Of course, it's all in my imagination, so the reality of it may be very different.
Mm.
I saw a film, and I'm trying to remember where it was, where the birth mother went through that whole process, and they did find her birth family. I mean, the adoptive mother, they did find her birth family, and I was paying close attention to her mother in the background, stepping back and watching. seeing what that was like for her.
For the adoptive mother.
The adoptive mm-hmm. mother, mm-hmm. to see her child going, connecting with the birth family. So anyway, if at some point in time she wants to pursue that, I will be very supportive, and we will go where we need to go to learn.
How do you feel about it?
Well, one reason why I don't want a DNA test is because they have to stick you with a needle.
They can swab the inside of your mouth. They don't have to stick you with a needle. You just take a Q-tip and they swab, and you put a little...
Does it have to go all the way down?
No. Okay. You swab. Not like a strep test. You swab the side of your mouth, and then you send it off in the mail to 23andMe, which is a place that does DNA testing. And if this helps your thinking at all, I've talked now to a handful of families who have, in fact, found birth families and verified through DNA testing.
So on their end, they voluntarily...
There are families, particularly of younger children, and I'd be curious to know how you feel about this, Emmy, who there are parents who start searching almost as soon as they bring their child home.
Wow.
And their belief is, if I wait, the trail could go cold.
Oh.
So, you know, in terms of if there was a finder identified in the documentation, the person who found you, depending on where mm-hmm. the child was.
And if that
finder can be verified, it's not always a road, but it can be. And so one family I heard from is from the Netherlands, and the mother contacted me from China. They were in the village of the birth parents, and they had verified through DNA testing, and they spend part of their summers with their daughter's birth family.
Wow.
So I'm hoping, she said, do you think you'd like be interested in our story? And I was like, yes.
Yeah. yeah.
So they were still in China. But all this is to say, you know, your view of it is you know, one way. I mean, what is your view of it? How does it feel for you, the idea of potentially looking or finding? It doesn't sound, from what you said before, like it's something you really want to do.
Right now it's not. Mm-hmm. I don't really think about it ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You're more worried about school and boys.
Totally. I'm boy crazy, like a lot of boy crazy.
She's 14.
So.
Do you have any fears about it? Is there anything that gives you pause that makes you feel anxious about potentially finding them? Like, what
Not
would it
really.
Be like to have siblings that you didn't know anything
about?
Oh,
that's like, because I've been wanting at least a little brother or something, because I thought it would be really cool to have a little brother you sass back and, you know. And plus, not a...
Yeah.
Yeah, talk to these two.
And plus, not a, like, a younger little girl, because then she'll take my spotlight. So, no.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So the idea of siblings is kind of appealing, kind of intriguing at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.